There's a well-known story about a man who approached a labourer on the building site. And he said to the builder, to the labourer, "What are you doing?" And it was pretty obvious because he was a bricklayer. And the guy said, "I'm laying bricks. I'm laying bricks." So the man walked over to another man who was laying bricks. And he asked him, "What are you doing?" And the second bricklayer sat back for a moment and he said, "I'm building a cathedral." They were both doing the same physical work, both laying bricks, building, if you like. But the first labourer was occupied with the present task, while the other was occupied with the goal, with the ultimate goal. And the question I have for all of us today is, does your life have goals? Are you looking ahead to the future for your family, for your children's education? Are you looking at certain accomplishments that you personally desire to happen in your life? You know, the Word of God says that He does give us the desires of our hearts. Perhaps it's a family goal, or in the current life of the church, as I've just mentioned, a big goal, a goal of $3 million for the redevelopment project. And so the question can be asked of all of us, not just here in the English congregation, but the whole of SIC. The question can be asked, are you laying bricks or building a cathedral? Today I'm going to share about goals. And to do this, I'm going to be drawing on Solomon's writing as he wrote in Proverbs. And in particular, I'm going to be focusing on verses 5 and 6 in Proverbs chapter 3. Now, you all know that verse, or at least I think most of you do. Let me read it to you, if I may. In fact, I don't need to read it to you because it's in here. It was those two verses were the first verses that my pastor, when I became a Christian in 1981, taught me and asked me to memorize. It's been enriched on my heart ever since. We used to meet every Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock, pray together, share memory verses together, recite them, and then go to work. Did that for about a year. And so it's engraved on my heart. And it's, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. A few weeks ago, when we were beginning the fundraising team for the coffee on the patio team, we had a gentleman from a coffee producer come and train a small team to how to work the coffee machine. I found out that he was a Christian and goes to one of the churches in Springwood. And when we'd finished, I took him outside and showed him our property and communicated with him the plans that we have for the redevelopment of the property. Told him that we had a goal to raise $3 million. And this is his response. He was shocked. Wow, he said. $3 million? $3 million? He said, "I really hope you can achieve that. In fact, I'll go back to our church and I'll get people praying for you." And I said, "Thank you very much." And he paused for a while and he said to me, "Do you think you'll get it?" Well, that was a challenge to me straight away. And so I thought for a few seconds and I said, "Of course we will." And he praised the Lord And so he went. As he went away, he turned round to me and he said, "Yes, but do all the people in your church have the same answer as you?" And I said, "Well, I can't answer for everyone. I don't know. I do not have a clue. I can't speak." Then Joe was his name. He's got a coffee bar in Underwood and he roasts beans. I'll show you where, tell you one day where his place is. But he turned round to me then and he said, he quoted a South African pastor, Angus Buchan, who said, "If your goal doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. If your goal doesn't scare you, it's not big enough." After we parted, I began to ponder that. And immediately, well, not immediately, but soon after that, those verses from Proverbs came flooding into my heart. Those memory verses from all those years ago, which have been with me all of these since 1981 when I became a Christian. If our goal doesn't scare us, we are working towards it in our own strength. If it doesn't scare us, it means we're not relying on the Lord. We're relying on self. I knew then that I needed to share this message with all the congregations at SIC. You see, all of us need to have goals in our lives, for our family, for our work, personal goals, and yes, in the church. And so as we begin today, let me ask you once again, are you a bricklayer or are you building a cathedral? And if you're the latter, does the goal scare you? Does the goal scare you? Today, let's first of all look at those words, trust in the Lord. I haven't got any overheads today, but you know these verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But let's break it down. Trust in the Lord. Now, most of you probably think, well, he's going to tell us all about trust. We already know about that. But it's worth looking at it again. Trust, let me remind you, when we look at the Greek translation of the Old Testament, in Proverbs in particular, the word trust is petheo. I don't know whether I pronounced that right. Petheo, petheo. Which literally means to put your confidence in. To put your confidence in. Recently, in Eagleby, where we live, near Chetwynd Street in the industrial area, a circus came to town, set up its big tents. Now, we didn't go to that show. I've seen so many circuses in the past, you know, but it did remind me of some of the most spectacular circus acts that I've seen, and in particular, the trapeze artists. You all know what I'm talking about. And so I thought, well, that's a good example on trying to communicate this word trust. I'm going to draw on Brian in a minute. He hasn't prepared for this. But let's imagine we're at the circus watching a trapeze act. There are normally two at least. One person is on the bar swinging backwards and forwards, and Brian's on another stand up there waiting to come down and catch me. I'm swinging backwards and forwards. Come over here, Brian, if you like. Brian's upside down with his legs holding onto the bar. You can't do that right now, but don't worry about it. And you all know that moment where I'm swinging on the bar and all of a sudden I get to a height and I let go and I do a somersault in the middle of the air. You know he's going to fall. But this guy's timed his swing just right. And at that important moment when the audience thinks I'm in danger, he grasps my wrists. You've seen it. You've all seen it. And we continue the act together. Thank you, Brian. The first team member, that was me in this particular case, was flying through the air, and I had confidence that the second team member was going to catch me and hold me and prevent me from falling. I had confidence in Brian. I trusted. Now, if you want to learn about trust, you go to the book of Hebrews and look at all those great men of faith. Chapter 11 in particular, and in particular in verses 32 to 34, where it speaks of Old Testament men of God who put their faith in God. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and so it goes on and on and on. They did great things for God because they had trusted him. They put their confidence in God. And the writer calls it faith. In any event, it doesn't matter whether you call it trust or faith, their weaknesses were turned into strength because they trusted God. And then the wonderful words of Jesus in John chapter 14 remind us of this word, truth. Put your confidence in. Remember in chapter 13 when Peter says to Jesus, "Where are you going?" And then we come to those wonderful verses in the next chapter where he starts to talk about the mansions in the sky. Remember that? And it starts off in verse in chapter 14. He says, "Trust in God, trust also in me." Put your confidence in God, put your confidence in me, Jesus says. And then, he goes on, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If this were not so, I would not have told you." You see, when we put our trust in God, it's like he will grasp us and catch us. We sang about that this morning when we're falling, didn't we? When we're falling, God grasps us because we put our trust in him. Now, if we were to stop there in those verses, trust in the Lord, having acknowledged what that word trust is, we're not really grasping the full meaning of what Solomon's talking about in this proverb. God wants us to understand what Solomon says. He says, trust in the Lord, and secondly, with all your heart. With all your heart. Now, you might say, well, they go together. That's not always true. If I was to ask you, do you trust your doctor to diagnose your illness correctly? Most of you would say, yeah, I think so. Some of you would say yes. You'd say yes, but you'd be thinking, I hope he's got it right. You see, your mind says, I trust the doctor, but it could be wrong. Sure, he might catch me when I'm falling, just like the trapeze artists catch each other. But on occasions, the doctor might be wrong, and our hands may slip through each other and I will fall. When it comes to trusting God, there's another aspect that takes us so much higher, into a higher realm. It says, trust with all your heart. When Solomon said these words, he removed what might possibly happen, or he removed the subjective and it changed to an objective thing. That is, feeling like I trust to the absolute and undisputable fact that I do trust. Why? Because it's with all of my heart. How can we understand and look at this so that it becomes a reality in our lives? Well, the word heart, and you all know this, Craig said it a few times, Kevin said it a few times, everyone that comes up the front says it's from that word cardia, and that's correct. Over time, that word cardia eventually came to represent more than the physical aspect of the heart. I went to the specialist 2 weeks ago. For those of you who don't know, I've got a pacemaker and a defibrillator. And once a year or once every 6 months, I go and get a checkup. They hold a thing over my chest where the thing's embedded, and they do a reading and so on. I go to a cardiologist. Thankfully, and I'm digressing a bit now, but thankfully, when I got there, this nurse says to me, "We've got a brand new machine that operates on the mobile network. You put this thing by the side of your bed, and without coming into the clinic, you can wave the wand over your chest, and we can get a reading in the clinic. And we can adjust it from the clinic if it needs adjusting." And I thought, wow, isn't that great? Do you think that's great? I do. Well, you would if you had my... So I said, oh, Lord, this is thinking to myself, how much is this going to cost? So I blurted it out, how much? And she said, oh, you can have it free. Hallelujah. But cardia originally was, as it says in Leviticus, to pump the blood through the body. It was originally, in Leviticus 17:11, it tells us that life of the flesh is in the blood and it's pumped by the heart. But over the centuries, over time, that word became to mean so much more than just the physical. And it eventually came to represent man's entire mental, moral, and moral activity, both rational and emotional elements, his entire being, the hidden springs of the personal life. And that's exactly what Solomon meant when he wrote in Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart." And so the verse understood can be put like this, if you like. With your entire being, put your confidence in God, trusting God with your entire personal identity. With your entire personal being. There's a good example of this absoluteness that I'm talking about. It comes in 1 John. If you look at in 1 John chapter 1, in chapter 2, you'll see the word know, K-N-O-W, continues to repeat itself over and over again. And from the beginning it says, for instance, in verse 13, I'm writing to you fathers because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you children because you know him. That word know. Have a look in 1 John. The writer is using a verb ginosiko. And apart from knowledge, the intellectual knowledge, it really means or signifies a real definitiveness, which is what we're talking about when we're trusting with all your heart. You could translate those words in 1 John as, I know that I know that I know that I know, and it would continue. Wow, doesn't that make a difference when you're talking about your relationship with God? I know that I know that I know him, and I know that he knows me, and he knows... Oh, wow, it really gets to me. I know that I know. So, as we move on in this coming year of challenge, with a goal of such gigantic proportions for the redevelopment of this property, I want to ask you another question. Are you scared? Are you scared? If, like me, you're scared, because I'm really scared, I want you to be encouraged this morning if you're scared. I want to encourage you to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust in Him. Put your confidence in the one who is able to provide all the necessary to reach the goal. Put your confidence in the one that you know that you know that you know with all of your personal being, everything that's in you. Thirdly, this morning, excuse me, when you're working in a business, for instance, the boss will usually set some goals for you. Who's been in front of the boss in his office and he's told them what he expects of them and when he expects it? Yeah? You all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when he calls you in, you think, oh, I'm in trouble. But they're setting goals, they're setting aims for you. Indeed, every business has goals that they set to achieve the profits that they want to make. In business, of course, it's all up to the people. In fact, years ago, before I became a Christian, I was trained in sales and marketing by a guy called Don Beveridge. And every seminar that he took, his catchphrase was, "If it is to be, it's up to me." And I lived by that for years and years until I met Christ. You understand what I'm saying? If it is to be, it's up to me. Now, there's a certain amount of logic in that saying, in that statement. And certainly nothing would get done if we didn't do things. We know that. If we didn't work at things. But there's a big but there, and it's this. When we belong to the Lord, relying on self to achieve things runs contrary to relying on God. Sure, there's that element of doing, like I said. Otherwise, things would not happen. But the doing is not the relying. I want us to understand that. The doing is not the relying. We work physically in God's church, but I pray with all of my heart that we do that relying on God. Do not rely on your own understanding, the verse says. Do not rely on yourself. It's clearly shown in Philippians 4:13, where Paul says in 4:6, it was a recent text when we had the prayer texting in February. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. And Solomon says, do not rely on self, your own understanding. You know what? When Joe, that guy that taught us to work the coffee machine, said those words to me from that African preacher, he said, if your goal of 3 million, and he said this directly to me afterwards, if your goal of 3 million does not scare you, it means you're relying on self. I want to put it to you this morning. Are your personal goals achieved easily without many obstacles? Are we as a church simply expecting that it'll be an easy path towards redevelopment. Oh Lord, I pray not. I pray for it to be difficult. We don't want an easy run. I pray that it will be difficult. You know why? Because my prayer is that our goal will really scare us. So much so that we can do nothing else, absolutely nothing, except rely on Jesus. Paul said, when I am weak, I am strong, 2 Corinthians. When I am weak, I rely on God, and that makes me strong. May I once again encourage you this morning, be weak. Be weak. I'm going to conclude this morning with verse 6. Proverbs 3, verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. When King David was wanting to build the temple, God said, absolutely no. No. And so it was to be that David gave that responsibility, or that responsibility came to Solomon, who would build the temple. However, David did give Solomon a charge. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, he said this to Solomon, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your fathers." He's saying the same in Proverbs, isn't he? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge the God of your father and serve him wholehearted, with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. What am I saying? Well, it's this. When we acknowledge God by trusting him in everything, and we're doing so with all of our being, when our goals really scare us, and when we are totally weak and unable to do things in our own strength, he will step in and make our paths straight. I can see some of you nodding. You already know this truth. But it's worth hearing again, isn't it? Solomon did build God's temple. How? Because God removed all the obstacles. If you read through the accounts, all of the opposition that came his way, those who ridiculed him, who thought they knew better, those who had more faith, those who were pessimists, said he couldn't do it. And in 1 Kings chapter 14, chapter 4, all the adversaries, Hadad, Rezon, Jeroboam's son, Nebat, all of them opposed what Solomon was doing. And yet when he trusted in God, the job got done. Over and over again this morning I've been saying, trust in God. I hope the message is coming through. In the everyday version of the Bible, which is the one I'm using this morning, and I'm not promoting it, it's just another version of God's word. It says, remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will give you success. Now, it doesn't mean success in the way we understand winning a football match or making lots of money or success in a worldly way. It means exactly what it is told, acknowledge, and he will make straight your paths. But I'm using that word this morning because it communicates what I want to conclude with. Because success, from our point of view, as brothers and sisters in Christ, comes from trusting God. Success comes from trusting God with our entire being. Success comes from not relying on our own ability, not relying on self. Success comes from acknowledgement of God in every single thing that we do. Success comes from being really scared of the goal. Last Sunday, We saw the beginning of, well, I personally thought the miracle had already started before that. But as Pastor Kevin continues to talk about, we're in the midst of God and his miraculous ways. Last Sunday saw something really special. And you know what? We're nowhere near the 3 million yet, and I'm scared to bits. I'm really scared. It's so big, it frightens me. But I want to leave us all with this. I know, and I know that you know, success will come when we take into our hearts the words of Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we just want to call on you right now, Lord. As we declare in our own hearts, minds, in our innermost being, that our deepest desire is to trust in you. With everything that we have, our innermost being, we put our trust in you, Lord. We acknowledge, Lord, that this is your church. You've given us a goal, and we're trusting you to fulfill it, Father, through us. And so, Lord, this morning, help us all to keep our eyes fixed on you. And in our weaknesses, make us strong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.